progress on the search front. We have held some interviews. We don't yet know when the final decision is going to be made. We have made recommendations that the commissioner meet with at least one of our candidates. And when I get some further news, I'll be happy to announce it. And in the meanwhile, I'd like to ask Cheryl if there is anything I missed or anything I should have added.
No, good morning, everyone, again. Thank you, Al. And first, I just wanted to let the group know, if they don't know, that Al was gracious enough to help us out with the first round of interviews. And I appreciate that suggestion to have someone from your group involved. I wanted to thank all of you for that suggestion and thank Al for giving us his time over the past couple weeks for those initial interviews. We are still in the process of the recruitment effort, as Al said, and as soon as I or he can give you any more specific information, we will do that. Appreciate your patience with that process. And then the other thing I just want to let you know is our administrative assistant is due to start with us on September 23rd. That would be the long overdue replacement for Lisa Tanguay. So we are excited to have someone joining us and filling in that regard. And I continue to work with the other program supervisors and our HR on our continued recruitment and hiring process for any of the positions needed in the other program areas. So that's it for now. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any questions for Cheryl?
Yes, this is Eileen. I guess my question is relating to what Stephen has talked about and came up at the special meeting. Anything that could yet be
about
the bureau structure.
Thank you. As soon as Steve mentioned it earlier in the meeting, our HR department, along with Commissioner Porter's executive assistant, is working on an updated org chart. As all of you have indicated, there's been a lot of changes, and I really want to get you the most current information possible. So they are in the process of doing that, and as soon as we have one available for sharing, I will get it out to this group.
Thank you, and just be sure that it's easily accessible, because sometimes when formats are complicated, it can be difficult to decipher.
Understood, thank you.
Any other questions for Cheryl? Okay, very good. Thank you, Cheryl.
Our
next item on the agenda is Bureau Program Update. We will go in alphabetical order. Adult Services is first. Chris, you have the floor.
Thanks very much. First of all, I hope that everyone has had a chance to review the updates that Andrew was kind enough to send out. And I'm just going to, you know, run through them. Feel free to stop me at the conclusion of any item to ask any questions. So this is some highlights from the last 6 months. First, regarding intake and iReports, the Adult Services Program continues to receive and code iReports for all legally blind individuals accessing services from BSBY, and the number of incomplete iReports has caused us to refine the referral process in the last 6 months. So we always advise the submitting expert doctor or APRN, and sometimes the prospective client when additional information is needed. And we always suggest that the use of the BSBY iReport form is advised, though not mandatory, because a fully completed BSBY form usually provides all the information needed to establish eligibility. Especially for the prospective children's services clients, the rise in referrals initiated by interested advocates, while very welcome, has complicated the process and will require some clarifying outreach to Birth to Three programs and to public schools. So we are initiating this effort in cooperation with the Children's Services Program. Any questions about that? Okay. Devices and equipment for clients. The Adult Services Program has continued to work with our partners in ADS Fiscal Services to identify and to continue to provide essential aids and devices, especially optical magnifiers, canes and cane tips, and talking and low vision timepieces. After working closely with VESBE Stockroom throughout the pandemic to meet supply chain challenges, the rehabilitation teachers and the O&M instructors, education professionals, all of them are now typically well-equipped to carry out their mission of serving clients immediately and in person upon making contact with them in the field, while we continue to streamline the shipping or mailing of aids and devices to those clients seeking replacement of items that they're already familiar with using. Magnifiers. Adult Services continues to rely on donated inline electronic video magnifiers while purchasing the more economical portable electronic video magnifiers in bulk from a longtime vendor of ours. The staff at the federally funded blindness rehab program at the West Haven Veterans Hospital has generously directed the family members of their clients who can no longer use their inline devices to contact VESBE to arrange donation of those, which has enabled Adult Services to continue to sustain that practice. The bequest from Julie McLean, the program is working on how best to utilize the $200,000 bequest very generously provided by Julie McLean in her will to assist Connecticut adults with legal blindness in meeting their independent living needs. And at present, Adult Services is relying on other bequest funds to meet the funding shortfalls experienced in the recent past, as the supplemental relief account provided by the state has declined year after year. Deaf-blind services. Adult Services with social worker Margie Santos coordinating the provision of services and administering the community inclusion grant funding for people who are deafblind has begun collaborating with the staff of the Bureau of Rehab Services, BRS, who assist their clients with deafness or who are hard of hearing. The work of the Adult Services field staff with VESBE clients with deafblindness continues unabated, and considerable energy and time is being devoted to broadening our collaboration with BRS. Finally, in terms of orientation and mobility, a bit of a highlight, college students are receiving mobility instruction from the Adult Services O&M instructors in the last 3-4 weeks. This is really ramped up with seven UConn undergraduates, two Wesleyan students, and individual clients at Yale, Fairfield University, Mitchell College, and several community colleges being served. And that happens just to say whether the student is a Connecticut native or is has been sent from an out-of-state VR program, and also it happens whether they're actually active in Connecticut services otherwise. So we're basically doing this for VR purposes generally, but often even if these students are not active in any program in Connecticut, we do it because we believe that's how Connecticut clients would like to be treated when they're studying out of state. So I hope I'm clear on that. And I'll welcome any questions if there are any.
This is Eileen with a quick question. I know someone who is definitely registered with VESBE, but they're not actively involved in Adult Services. Would this person be able to get a piece of equipment and you know, it's Kang, or would they have to go through a big process to be eligible to get a Kang replacement?
Well, so anyone who is on the BSBY register, whether they've been active recently or not, if we can find them in the register, we can replace a Kang. You know, I would say that we do generally like to open the client. For clients, I will say that clients 55 and over, the reopening of their case is a very, very, very simple matter. For clients under the age of 55, we usually like to get the client's signature and reopen their case. But in any circumstance, we do place an emphasis on replacing an essential safety device like a cane, you know, at the same time that we're doing any necessary documentation. So I would emphasize we don't want anyone waiting to request a cane. You know, it's a high priority for us to get those out to people when they need them. So Eileen, if you'd like to call me later, or, you know, perhaps stick around at the end of the meeting and give me the name of the person, I'd be more than happy to help them.
It would have to be later. I'm on a very tight schedule, but thank you. We'll be in touch.
Great. Thanks so much. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, okay. Chris, are you in the process of hiring or filling any vacant positions right now?
Yes. We're candidates for rehabilitation teacher and rehabilitation technologist are ready to have interviews scheduled, and we're working on requesting the social worker and social services, office assistant replacements.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Chris? Hearing none, our next item is the Children's Services Report. Catherine, you have the floor.
Hi, everyone. In the interest of time, I'm assuming everyone has read my report, so I'm going to ask if you have any questions about the Children's Services Program or questions about the report I submitted.
Eileen has two questions, of course.
Great.
Catherine, when you went through the various programs that students have participated in, are you able to reach students statewide? I'm thinking particularly about transportation issues that students may have who live beyond the immediate vicinity of some of these events.
We're able to address all ages, all of our students. We unfortunately don't have the capability to provide transportation, so sometimes that is an issue, and we do suggest alternative transportation resources to families. There are occasions when we can provide the transportation, but it's not something we can guarantee.
So when you think about some of the trips and things that you mentioned in your report, do you have fairly good statewide participation or not?
For the events that I mentioned in my report, yes, I would say that we have good participation. I'm going to say that we did not offer Skills for Life this summer, and the reason for that was lack of student interest. We had it organized, staffed, and ready to go. I do not believe transportation was the issue. It was just lack of student interest.
Wow.
And I will say my staff were recruiting to the best of their abilities to get students to attend.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
Catherine, my other question is, does your newsletter appear on the website?
Yes. Yes, okay, both the good. English and the Spanish versions are there. And if you have trouble finding it, please let me know, because it really should be there. And I have to say, I think that the at least I try to have the newsletter to be a concise summary of our program highlights and the things that some of the staff are doing outside of their regular caseload work. So please let me know if you can't find it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
By knowing the CT.gov and type the Besby Buzz into the search terms and see if that works. I haven't tried it, but I suspect that might work.
Okay.
The good thing that it has a unique title, because that makes it easy to find rather than just going to look for the Children's Services newsletter, because you may not have as good luck. You might come up with a bunch of extraneous results that are not going to help you.
I typed in Buzz, but it just brought me to the Consumer Protection Marijuana website. No, actually, I typed in Buzz, and the first thing that came up were some Besby Buzz newsletters.
Excellent. Work.
Good.
Okay, very good. All right, any other questions for Catherine? Hearing none, I thank you for your report, Catherine, and I appreciate that you kept it brief and we're respectful of the time. So that takes us to our next item, which is, if you'll give me just a moment here to get back to the agenda. Let's see, Blind Americans Equality Day, scheduled for 15 October 22. I'm going to ask our acting director, if you can give us an update on that, Carol.
Hi, and I'm actually going to flip it over to Mary. I may be putting you on the spot, but I think you have the most information about that day.
Yeah, no problem. What we had decided to do this year is we're doing an event that's focusing primarily on our transition age in college students, but it is also available to everyone. But we decided to do an event in honor of Blind Equality America. I always get this wrong. Blind Americans Equality Day, which is October 15th, which happens to fall on a Saturday this year. October is also October is National Employment with Disability Month. So along the month, throughout the month, we have many events that we're participating in, planning, in honor of that month. So we decided to keep it on that Saturday, the 15th, because that's the day, in honor of this, Blind Americans Equality Day. If I keep saying it, it'll roll off my tongue easier. So our transition coordinator, our vocational counselor coordinator, and a couple of our counselors and myself have met and decided to do an event that will be virtual. We're kind of late in the game, so we decided that it would be too difficult to do an in-person event with this late notice, so we're doing an online event. And the flyer should be going out today, actually, this afternoon. But the focus is going to be keeping to the original intent, which is White Cane Safety Day, which is a national event, in honor of, mobility and white cane safety. Connecticut a few years ago changed the name to Blind Americans Equality Day. So we're focusing a little bit more on the mobility piece. So we have LEAP Vermont coming and doing some activities, talking about white cane safety and the intent of the day. They're going to be like our guest speaker. And they have some fun activities planned. Again, it's kind of designed more towards transition, but anybody could come, but just knowing that event might be a little bit more geared towards the younger crew. We have three of our clients coming and talking about IRA, like I talked earlier, so that they'll come and talk about their experience working and using IRA. So again, that will be designed for everybody, not just transition age. And we have an individual from our adult services program to be announced. Chris is working on that. That will come and speak to the group, you know, O&M or, you know, about O&M. And we will have our VR staff available as well. So that's the event. We're excited, and we're going to be marketing it as much as we can.
Thank you for putting that together, Mary. Any questions for Mary?
Yes, Mary, have you considered inviting the VA to come in to help out from the West Haven VA? Because Katie does something every year for this type day, and also Chris Radio.
On mute.
Sure, we can. If you want to email me contacts, we can call them and see if they'll come in and do a presentation or whatever. Like, anybody's welcome to come. We're still in the works of putting it together. The flyer will be going out, so if you could do that soon, so we can put them on the agenda. It's going to be on Saturday morning from 10 to 11:30. Again, we kind of ran into a little bit of a problem because we're about a month out when we decided to do this, and it's a Saturday. So, we're employee-wise, we were having a little bit of a difficulty time getting individuals to want to give up their Saturday in the fall to do this presentation. But we succeeded, and we were able to do so. So we. You know, it's not, if we even wanted to do another event, like if Chris Radio was doing something and they wanted us to be there, or a VA on that day, that would be wonderful. But yeah, like, it, you know, or they can come in and talk to our group. We try to keep it so it's kind of consistent with mobility. So it's going to be about mobility. Like, so we're kind of keeping with the trend of independence and White Cane safety in relation to VOPE rehab as well. So it's not just going to be about everything. That's why we kind of added, because IRA is a mobility independent. It's not necessarily always a mobility, but you know, with our collaboration with Department of Transportation and other things, it has been a mobility. Like the individuals that we have used it for mobility. So we decided to keep it on a mobility track.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Have you also seen Andrea Judice's email address? She set up something with the Lions Club from Windsor, Connecticut.
You know, that would be great, because this is kind of in addition to this day. Is, like I said, the National Employment with Disability Month. So our liaison at the agency is in collaboration working with Department of Labor to do like what he called it, but basically like a marketing campaign to make sure all these events are being widely distributed. I'm giving him, along with some of our other bureaus, information on what we're doing. So I've focused on ones that we're on the planning committee. We have a breakfast coming up that one of our clients are being is giving a special award, you know, so things like that are going out into, you know, that we have a role in, basically. There's many, many, many other events that we're not part of, but we may be going to, you know, so I didn't necessarily focus on those.
I'd like to comment. It's Mary Silverberg. So, and answer your question, Steve. Yeah, I received that from Andrea, and I forwarded it to John Slifka, since he will be submitting all of this and making the final arrangement. So that will definitely be included on the big calendar.
Oh, good.
Does anybody know if the governor plans or will be issuing proclamations about either the National Employment or Blind Americans Equality Day?
I would think John Slifka will definitely be doing that.
I think Andrew, I don't want to put you on the spot, Andrew, we I think Andrew was working on that as well for us, for the Blind American Equality Day.
Yes. Great. Okay. Thank you.
And just to add, we do have another, like I said, there is a, like, that marketing, you know, campaign that he's doing, and we are coming together and creating a success story for one of our individuals who's working as a disability coordinator down at the American Job Center in Bridgeport. It's a great story. It kind of highlights our collaboration with the Department of Labor. So we're going to be getting that out by the end of September. So, I mean, maybe if you guys have anything you wanted to add and you don't want to go directly to John, if you could send it to me, I'll forward it to John Slifka. So he'll pick and choose what he puts on there, but I'm pretty sure he puts everything we recommend on there.
Well, thank you, Mary.
No problem.
Our next agenda item, CV-19 updates and safety protocol. We'll get to that one. I'll give it to Andrew.
There isn't really much. There's one ongoing concern with the testing rates of infection are still, kind of uncomfortably high. Not quite as high as they were a few weeks or months ago, but still near 10%, and I haven't seen the last number, but we have been told to put signs on our doors that say mask wearing is strongly recommended if the numbers get too high, and we are told every week what the numbers are, but so far we haven't had to. Not in this county or any county, they're doing it by county, but so I've got these sheets ready to put up on the door saying mask wearing strongly recommended if I'm told that the numbers are high enough, but it hasn't happened yet. So, sadly, the new versions of the disease that started about 10 months ago don't care as much about the vaccine as the earlier versions did and seem to jump around pretty easily. It seems as if the new versions aren't as bad and that if you are vaccinated, you've got some protection even when you contract it. So people are kind of, moving around the office. Normally people are meeting in the conference rooms without necessarily always keeping at great distances. So, and people are out in the field and the schools are open and our teachers are in them. There are sometimes still client meetings that get canceled at the last minute because the client finds out they have COVID. And so it's still part of our lives, but, like you all know and see, it's not hampering our activities the way it once did. So there haven't been many big changes in anything, so I guess that's, I didn't even need to say that much. That's my report.
There is a booster available that does target the AD subvariant of the Omicron subvariant, so if you want to check on that, you can ask your healthcare provider. I'm sure they'd have more information on that, but it is available. So then, the last two items of new business, Andrew, I'm going to ask you to consolidate that to the best of your ability. They are the budget update and the legislative update. Floor is yours.
Well, certainly our staff would be working on producing budgets for the new year. And it, as is typical, the State Central Office of Budgeting, OPM, asked for agencies to produce their proposed budgets. They may ask for cuts, even if they aren't planning for cuts, so they always have those options written up. But, our budget is still standing at what it was when it was passed in the spring, which itself was the second year of the budget. And so I think we're in an odd number year, even numbered year. In the second year of the budget, they made no real big changes this spring, with the exception that in our agency, money was taken out because they centralized our IT staff. So they're no longer on our salary line because they're being centralized in the Department of Administrative Services. Just as earlier, our human resources people, they're still serving us, and they still work with us, but they're salaried in another agency. So if you looked at our budget, you'd see it went down, but not for any real big reason. And legislative, I've asked people on in the agency to propose any ideas for legislation. Since so much of what we do is federally overseen, we don't have much reason for that much state regulation. Legislation, state legislation, but there always could be proposals that come up. There was a proposal which made its way halfway through the legislature but died about trying to adopt the federal term.